Yesterday, I was sharing with you guys how the pandemic has changed a lot for a lot of people. But for my husband and I personally, it's really changed our thinking behind starting a family and when we want to do so. For us personally, it was mainly around border closures because my family is in Melbourne, interstate. We just don't know when we're going to be able to come together again.
I'm the same with you. It's scary. It's frightening.
It's scary. But another aspect that I'm seeing pop up a lot, chatting with girlfriends, but even seeing a lot online about it, is the spike in women freezing their eggs in the past 18 months. Oh. So this was a thing that obviously we could have done for a while. The technology's been around, but the pandemic has really seen a surge in women seeking out this service.
Really?
One clinic in Victoria noted a 119% increase, and one in Queensland a 250% increase in the past 18 months alone. So I wanted to talk to someone who has actually been through this process and whose opinion sort of shifted towards this process because of the pandemic. Mm. So we go to Hannah first. She's a podcast host of Single Minded. I've read a blog of hers, and she's actually going through the hormone process and documenting it all on social media. So Hannah, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
So one of the conversations that we've had is women who are single, how that's impacted, the pandemic has impacted them in terms of starting a family, because we don't know when we can go outside. We haven't been able to date like we usually could date. And that's where you found yourself.
Yes, I definitely did. I did not think that for the last year and a half that I would be living like this, for sure. And it's like dating is just so different. I mean, you end up just chatting on, you know, Hinge for forever. And yeah, no, it makes dating really hard.
Particularly if you can't catch up legally in the same state if you're in lockdown. I mean, that's ridiculous. So I can't imagine what it's like.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, like, for particularly women that I speak to and friends that I have that are single in their 30s, I guess it's kind of put a bit of a, like, if you were looking to meet someone, it's kind of put a pause on it, or it's made it a lot harder.
Yeah, so your timeline starts pushing out.
And I can tell you, meeting someone in your 30s was not easy beforehand.
Yeah, no doubt. So what specifically drove you to freeze your eggs in the end?
I have been looking into it from like around 30. I guess like I love to travel, and I also felt that I probably felt that like I wasn't ready, but maybe that was because I hadn't met someone. And then I think I'm turning 33 this year, and I was like, where the hell did 3 years just go? Like it felt, I mean, I know where the last 2 years has gone. It's been in my apartment. So so I thought, I started, I guess, looking into it. I thought I was too young, and that's actually not true at all. Like I ended up learning so much about fertility and about, you know, women's fertility in their 30s, and it actually was a great time to do it. The pandemic pushed me to make the decision. A decision that I'd already kind of been thinking about.
It's interesting. I've heard the sort of changing conversation where usually, well, maybe in the past, women, you know, 38 or late 30s were the ones seeking out egg freezing. But particularly in more recent years, women younger, maybe early 30s, are looking at it because you actually freeze your eggs in sort of the health they are at that age, right, Hannah? So it's probably better to do it in your early 30s.
So I literally had no idea about the difference. So there's a difference between egg quality and egg quantity. So I just assumed it was all about egg quantity. So you have, you know, by the time you get to maybe your late 30s, you've lost, you know, you've got less eggs, but it's actually more about or equally about the egg quality. So when you're 32, like I am, so I was actually a great candidate. I had a lot of eggs, and then because I'm 32, they're better quality as well. So you're kind of like freezing those 32-year-old eggs in time so that like if you decide to use them later, it's actually the eggs of your 32-year-old self.
So I get that the quality of the egg is suspended, I suppose, in the freezing of the age that they were extracted. Does the freezing diminish? Like, this is a really bad analogy, but I'm curious of the science behind it. Like, if I freeze a vegetable, it's not as good as a fresh vegetable, right? Once it's thawed back out again. Is that the same with eggs, or is it totally suspended in the quality?
That is a really good question. I didn't actually ask that, but what I did know was I was shown a graph, which they've got, there's a lot of data over, I think, in the US, and there was the study done, which shows your percentage chance of having a live birth, depending on how many eggs you got at that age. So for me at 32, I got 28 eggs. So there's like over a 95% chance. And I think that kind of takes into consideration your age as well as how many eggs you have and how many you retrieved. But I don't specifically know that question, but I do know that there's a high percentage in my case having frozen them.
Yeah, they're better than your broccoli that you froze.
Your snap pea.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if this has happened to you, Hannah, and I'm not sure if there is a stigma attached to it, but have you then had a love interest or had a male and then told, male or female, sorry, and then told them that you've done this, and does it
scare
them? You've
got this insurance policy in the freezer.
And like, does it scare them away? You know what I mean?
It's so interesting because obviously this is just generally for me, my life is very public. Like I do a podcast, my Instagram's really public. I obviously documented this whole process. So just generally if guys I meet on like Hinge or something are like, what's your Instagram? Like they inevitably will find out a lot about my life.
Right.
So in my case, I'm just very open and I think for me, it does really come up early, like, oh, like, what are you looking for? So for me, like, I do want to have kids, I think, but I'm not ready right now. I would be open about it. Who knows what's going on in their head?
Yeah. Not that there is a stigma attached. I just wondered what that, conversation would be like.
I used to be stressed out about these things, I think. Like, oh, don't say this, don't say that. But now it's like you're at a certain age, you're looking to meet someone and have a real connection. So I guess I'm... like if they're not okay with it, I'm like, okay.
Well, you're not for me.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be freeing in a way because you don't have that pressure of, oh God, is this going to be my baby daddy?
Yeah.
And you're trying to level jump the relationship, which we know can be the pitfall of early days meeting a new person if they feel like you're coming on too strong or, oh God, she already wants to have my kids.
Yeah.
So I can imagine in a similar way, it would be freeing to not have that worry.
You have no idea. Like, honestly, I'm like, I think I texted a friend the other night. I was a bit over the top, but I was like, this is life. Like we're having the best fun. Like I am really enjoying like chatting and having like deep conversations with people. And I literally, the back of my head, I'm like, just enjoy the journey of dating. I don't feel as stressed about some sort of finish line.
Yeah.
I guess because I do have that insurance policy where I've got some extra time up my sleeve now to just enjoy like where I'm at.
Totally. Mm. Can you talk us through, if you don't mind, the cost of this process?
Yeah. So it, depending on your age, you may have to get one or two or more cycles. So I only had to go through one cycle. The doctor that I spoke to said it like you budget between 10 to 20. And I know that is a lot.
10 to 20,000.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Dollars, thousands.
Yes.
Yeah. So look, it is a very involved process. So it's definitely a big decision to make because it's 2 weeks. There's a lot of injections and medications. Then there's the day surgery and the anesthetic, and there's a lot that goes into it. So it's quite an involved, procedure for 2 weeks. I was, really just focused on that.
Mm-hmm. Geez, it's quite the investment into your future.
Yeah.
But how do you put a price on that, I guess?
And it doesn't always get it in the first cycle as well. Like wowee.
Yeah, you've and look, this is why I was glad that I actually sort of before I made the decision to do it, I had a fertility test. So you can get some blood tests and then also an ultrasound. And so you kind of have a better idea of where your fertility is at the age that you're at, and then you can kind of make a knowledge is power, so you can make an informed decision about, I guess, what's the next best step.
Mm. Hannah, I've actually read a couple of blogs where some women talked about their experience and said it was comped by their work. It was actually in contracts as part of almost, I guess, a maternity leave or a well-being section of a
job.
So it
means they can work for longer because they've got this insurance policy.
Exactly, the employer is saying,
we'll pay
go
for your
do
eggs
it
to
now,
be frozen. Right.
And then you can keep working, keep advancing your career.
Yeah.
And then when you want to do it at a later time, you can go do it. Keeping women in the workforce earlier, I guess. How do you feel about it being a work comp, work perk, Hannah? Sounds weird to say perk.
It does.
I have read about this and I know there's controversy around it, but I would be I'd be pretty happy if that cost was covered by
Yeah,
100%. For sure. I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, push aside the politics. I'll take your 20K.
Totally. Thank you very much.
Give me the money.
It's interesting. There are so many facets. And as we said at the top, the reason women are doing it vary across the globe, across this country. But really interesting to get an insight from someone. Hannah, thank you so much for your time. The podcast is called Single Minded, but Hannah First, F-U-R-S-T, on Instagram, documenting the whole journey, injections and all. Thanks for being so open and candid, Han.
No worries. Thanks for having me.